Today we're speaking with Reverend Dr. Alex Awad. He is a retired United Methodist missionary. He and his wife Brenda served in Jerusalem and in Bethlehem for more than 25 years. Reverend Awad has written two books, Through the Eyes of the Victims and Palestinian Memories. Reverend Awad is a member of the Palestinian Christian Alliance for Peace. Reverend Awad, welcome to KKFI.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
I want to start with just a little background for our audience about you. I understand that you were born in Jerusalem in 1946 during the British Mandate over Palestine, and then during the first Arab-Israeli War in May of 1948, when you were just 2 years old, your father was shot and killed in crossfire, leaving your mother to care for seven children. So I know that your family had quite a struggle after that. So soon after the death of your father, the neighborhood was taken over by the Israelis, and you fled and became refugees.
So I was born in Jerusalem in 1946, and my father and mother lived in West Jerusalem in a neighborhood called Musrara, and my father was working in a nearby hospital. My mother was taking care of us six children, but then we had another baby in the family, my sister, Diana. You know, soon after her birth, almost 6 months after her birth, we had the first Arab-Israeli war, and my father was shot and killed in that war, leaving my mother with seven children. First, we ran into the old city to find some friends and relatives who will help us survive, until my mother was able to find us a place to rent and to live in West Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, she really went to study as a nurse at a hospital until she became a registered nurse. It was very, very tough because the first 6 months my mother was studying very hard. She did not have a pay. She was like a volunteer in the hospital, and she was studying very, very hard without an income. So you can imagine, we were living in a war zone under this condition. But my mother was keen about our education, so she put us in boarding schools so we can get a good education while she was working very, very hard and studying hard to try to manage a family. So we had a very rough beginning, not because my father was shot and killed, but also because we became refugees. We lost everything we had, and except, of course, our lives, and we have to start anew and so on. So the only comfort in that is that we were not the only ones. Nearly 800,000 Palestinians became refugees that year when the Zionists decided that Palestine should belong to them, and that the native people of Palestine need to be out of the country to make room for the Zionists.
And I want to interrupt you just long enough to make sure that our listeners know what happened in 1948, because not everyone is clear on that. After World War I, until 1947, the British had administered the Palestinian Mandate, what it was called, the Mandate. And then in 1947, the United Nations debated whether the Palestinian Mandate should become a single country for both Arabs and Jews, or whether it should be partitioned into two states. And that was one thing I learned from your book, which I highly recommend. We're going to be sure our readers know about your book, because I didn't realize that there was a substantial vote in favor of having one state shared by Jews and Arabs. And it's my understanding there was a lot of arm twisting to get the vote to go to partition. Then, even though the Palestinians rejected it as a totally unfair way to divide the land, the Israelis started enforcing the partition, and that's when
yes.
the Nakba started. And maybe you could talk about what that was like.
Yeah, actually, you know, the United Nations made a partition. Of course, the United States twisted the arms of many nations in order to accept Israel's vision of the partition, rather than the United States being a fair broker in the situation. But that's the history of the United States as relating to the Arab-Israeli conflict. Even from the time of Truman, the United States was not a fair broker of the situation. But anyway, after Palestinians and the Arabs rejected the partition, the Zionist militia began evicting Palestinians from the zone that the United Nations allotted to Israel. After about 300,000 Palestinians became refugees, that is when the Arab countries became alarmed of the situation, and they came to defend the Palestinians, but they were not ready. They were not organized. They fought Israel, and it was a catastrophic war because they lost the war to Israel, and then the Israelis used that war as a pretext to take more Palestinian land and to expel more Palestinian refugees. But it's not that the Arabs started a war against Israel for no reason, because 300,000 Palestinians were becoming refugees before the Arab countries declared the war against Israel.
I would like to spend the greater part of our time talking about your efforts to reach out to other Christians who may not understand the Palestinians' predicament. I know it's fairly common in the United States for people to be unaware of exactly what the Palestinians have gone through in the last 70 plus years. But before we do that, know that I listened to you on the radio here in Kansas City a couple of weeks ago, and I was so moved by your expression of your faith. I know your mother was very religious Christian, and you have been your whole life, and that has helped you take forward your mission to help the Palestinians. And I wonder if you could just comment on that a little bit.
My mother decided, like I said, to go to college, but her motto was, never look back, always look forward. Never ask why God, always ask how God, and never harbor hatred in your heart, always believe. And, you know, it's just amazing, a woman living in 1948 after the death of her husband to teach her children to totally forgive and totally forget and move forward and try to think positive instead of harboring and bitterness in our hearts.
And I know a lot of people are not aware that a portion of the Palestinians are Christian rather than Muslim. I understand it's only about 2%, but it is a community of Christians there in Palestine. Isn't that correct?
Yes, and we are totally ignored by the church in the West. Most people in the West are not aware of our presence. Although we've been there in the Holy Land since probably the day of Pentecost, we are the indigenous native Christians of the Holy Land, and we've been faithful to Christ and to his message all of these years. But you see, in the West, there has been for the last 100, 120 years, a big excitement about God bringing Jewish people into the Holy Land with a mighty hand, and God creating miracles in the land. The Israelis are defeating their enemies by the help of God, and so on and so forth. So they created a theology of occupation, a theology that God is on the side of the Jewish people as they fight the Palestinians, as they fight the Arabs and the Muslims in the Holy Land. And they just ignored the church in the Holy Land, of course. And the Christian, what I would call them today, Christian Zionists, These are Christians who favor the state of Israel and promote the state of Israel at every turn. You know, they just not only ignored Palestinian Christians, but they ignored the teachings of Jesus Christ about justice, about peace, about righteousness, about fairness. And in order to fulfill prophecy, or in order to see that their prophetical eschatological expectations being fulfilled, they totally ignored the ethical and moral teachings of Christ and the New Testament about war, about killing, about occupation, about destroying people's homes, about denying people freedom. So I feel sad for my brothers and sisters, especially the evangelical Christians in the United States, because they really have been deceived by what I would call Christian Zionism in the last 100 years. And so I feel like one of my missions is to try to help my brothers and sisters in the evangelical movement to open their eyes to the realities in the Holy Land, to let them look at the maps of the Holy Land and see how Palestine shrunk in the last 70 years and continues to shrink today, while they are saying hallelujah and praise the Lord, because they think the shrinking of Palestine to the Palestinians and the growth of Palestine to the Israelis is part of a biblical prophecy and the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, although you know, the Bible is innocent of these theories and these speculations. But I go to churches, I go to colleges, I go to universities, I go to schools, I write to try to help people see an alternative to Christian Zionism.